Welcome to Special Sauce, Sirius's podcast about food and life. Every week on Special Sauce, we talk to some of the leading lights of American culture, food folks and non-food folks alike.
And that's kind of why like Eggslit had such an open kitchen, because I wanted people to see where food came from. It wasn't just coming from a window handed to you. There's actually people of color making your food.
My guest today is, again, the wonderful and talented Alvin Kailan.
Thank you so
much. The Egg Slut King and the host of The Burger Show.
What's up, everybody?
So let's talk about The Burger Show, which is, there's so much bad food stuff on YouTube.
Oh, my God,
but then
yes.
There's The Burger Show.
Yeah.
So tell me about the origins of The Burger Show. And we should say that, you know, Alvin is the host.
Yes.
I presume you co-produce it, whether you're called a co-producer or not.
Yes. Me and Justin Bolas, we definitely riff off of each other, and that's how the episodes.
Yeah. So tell us about it.
I don't know.
And how it came to be.
Burgers are a passion of mine. I think it was the first thing I've ever been a connoisseur of.
Not me. I hate burgers.
No way. Impossible.
No. I love burgers. Yeah. I showed you that story I wrote, man, with this big burger.
You're a burger OG.
I'm a burger OG.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened. I mean, we just did a burger pop-up. I guess the real story would be I'm a big fan of Bob's Burgers. The cartoon on Fox, and I went on to a table read, and I got to meet all of them, all of the actors, all the producers, and I just had this crazy idea where I was like, hey, guys, I'm a chef. I brought everybody Egg Slut sandwiches, so that kind of like...
See, but you know what? That's a really effective sales and marketing tool.
Yeah, it works.
If you read my book... It's the same thing. I thought that if I just brought great food to every meeting,
yes,
people wouldn't say no.
Exactly. And it was the hottest restaurant at the time. And so they loved it. And I somehow convinced them to let me host a Bob's Burgers pop-up. So I had 7 days, 7 chefs, 7 pun burgers. And we did it out of my incubator in Los Angeles.
Awesome.
And then a year later, we did the same thing in New York in the dead of winter at the Chef's Club counter on Spring and Lafayette. And 400 people showed up, and every food media outlet showed up to this to cover it. And then I became the burger dude.
You went in a very short time from the Egg Slut King to the burger dude.
Yeah. I became the burger dude. People started asking me to go on their shows or podcasts or whatever. And then finally, Justin Bolas, the main dude from First We Feast, who like creates a lot of content for them. We did some stuff in the past, and we would always talk about Apple Pan and how great Apple Pan was. And then he asked me if I could host this show he's working on. And so I was like, you know, I'm down. I love burgers. I've never really intended to be a TV or a personality in
food. But you're not shy.
I'm not shy. I'm very vocal about things, too.
Yes, I've noticed.
Yeah, so it's like, I was like, okay, let's try it out. And if I suck, don't be afraid to let me go and change me mid-episode. Like, this is not what I want. This has never been on the life court plan. So let me know if I'm messing up. And it turned out to do well. Yeah, my ratios of thumbs ups and thumbs downs were great, and they kept going. And
now you've got like millions of downloads, right?
Yeah, yeah. We're averaging about a million plus per episode, and we're on our fourth season.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I saw the Seth Rogen episode.
Yeah.
Like, how the hell do you get these movie stars?
Oh, Seth Rogen was easy. He was a customer of mine.
Oh, that's right, because you made that clear in the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was the type of guy where he would pay and I would never use his money. In fact, I started the Seth Rogen Emergency Fund, which is an envelope of all his tips. And there's a story on that episode where I actually had to use it. And I think that was the first time he heard that story. And now we're real good friends. Like, we talk to each other all the time. So... Yeah, Seth Rogen's an amazing dude. A lot of our guests, we've had Kenji on, which was like a life bucket list thing But he was telling me stories about how smoky his apartment would get in Brooklyn when he would make burgers. And
yeah, he would make his burgers. That first of all, that apartment, I don't think it had any windows. They were living hand to mouth. Audrey, his wife, was in graduate school.
Right.
They had no money, and that place got really smoky.
Well, and it's also legendary, right? Because that's where a lot of the Burger Lab stuff started.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that's what we get to do on the show. We get to do some crazy experimental stuff. It's not just showing up to a restaurant, eating their burger.
No, and that's the good thing. It's like, yeah, it's you don't go to three burger places and take a bite and go, that's really good.
Yeah, no.
I hate that.
Yeah, we go behind the scenes. We figure out why, you know, crispy cheese is on the Shady Glen burger in Connecticut.
Connecticut. I've had that
right?
burger.
Yeah, we figure out why the Lacey Edge burger is so famous in like Indianapolis and in the Midwest, because that's such a creative way of making a burger.
And then you break it down.
And we break it down and we find out the history of it all. And so like the burger knowledge in itself just becomes like, oh, that's why I love burgers.
Yeah,
like the just that.
And
I
saw one episode where you had my friend Babich.
Oh yeah,
who's the man?
He is the man. I love that guy.
He's a great guy.
Yeah,
we
this
should
season
say that's not his real name, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, Andrew.
Andrew Ray.
Yeah,
and then you had my other friend George Motz.
Oh yeah, dude. He's our resident
burgerologist.
Yeah, he just knows everybody and everything in burgers. So we go to his house, or he comes and he shows me around, you know, different places, and that's like the DNA of the show. The DNA of the show is really just an in-depth look into burger culture in America.
It's not just what you think you'd find. Like,
yeah,
there's a little surprise in every episode to me.
Yeah, there's a little nugget of information that you'll walk away and say, oh, I never knew that before about burgers. And then you have a whole newfound appreciation for it.
Yeah,
and
that's
burgers,
cool.
As simple as they are they're jam-packed full of history
and
character.
For sure, and culture.
Yeah.
So let's talk about immigrant food, because I've been to the local, the usual, and there's a sign right outside. What does it say? This food is
American comfort food cooked by children of immigrants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's clearly an important thing
for you.
And
very.
So tell us about that, because that's not... That's a deep subject.
Well, I grew up in the early 90s in the rebellious era of gangster rap and just basically like, you know, the rise of the immigrant voice, I believe. And, you know, coming from the city of Pico Rivera, where everyone tells you you can't, there's a lot of microaggressions, right? Like, you can't do that.
There were microaggressions, only they didn't call it microaggressions.
Yeah.
They just were like, fuck you.
Yeah, yeah, you can't do that. You know, don't even think about going to UCLA or USC or whatever. You can't do that. You know, you're not where you're supposed to be.
Right, and you'd be selling out if you did.
Right, exactly. And getting good grades was like, that's not a cool thing, you know? So my whole entire life, I've always been fighting for I could do it too. Like, you know what I mean? Like if some of my white friends or whatever would go to vacation to Hawaii, I'd tell my parents like, hey, let's save up to go to Hawaii. We can go there too. You know, it's just stuff like that.
Right. There were barriers waiting to be.
Yeah. Broken. And
yeah,
and that's the thing, and I did that with pretty much my entire like career, and that's kind of why like Eggslut had such an open kitchen, because I wanted people to see where food came from. It wasn't just coming from a window, handed to you. There's actually people of color making your food, and that's always been a credo of mine. And then we finally inherited this restaurant in New York City, and obviously in New York City, space is at a premium, so our kitchen is downstairs. So now the voice of the immigrant is now on copy. It's written on things.
Right.
And so, you know, we have our
I wonder if something gets lost in translation because of that.
You know, I posted this on my Instagram, and it's probably gotten the most action in a really long time. And a lot of people tend to miss the word immigrant, and they see the word illegal. And so I started getting messages saying, hey, like, why are you hiring illegal immigrants? And I'm like, there's nothing on that sign that says illegal on it.
That is so fascinating.
Yeah, so it turned into 2 days of, like, me commenting back. And I never comment back on my Instagram, ever, ever. But these guys, or these people who are commenting on, like, a negative tone, I would just be like, so what if we were illegal? Well, what would be the problem? I mean, where have you eaten? Because if you were going to get mad at me for this, then you can't eat anywhere.
You can't eat anywhere in America.
You can't eat anywhere in America. I'm sorry. But that's the lie, and no one knows that. And so it's been my mission.
Bourdain used to talk about that.
Yeah, he did. And he did so well. But the thing is I don't think that people were listening.
Yeah.
You know? And now it's like, look, I put this on the street. I want people to know when they're coming in, they're going to have food cooked by people of color. And it's American comfort food, but it's influenced by our ethnicity and our culture. So, like, you know, I have a prep cook who is from Thailand. So he when he makes family meal, he'll introduce flavors to us, and then we'll go, oh, man, we should make a dish like this. Mm-hmm. And then I have another prep cook who's from Senegal. And, I mean, this guy is a gangster. He makes better pasta than, like, I've had from, like, actual Italian chefs. Like, he just has that, like, touch and feel for pasta, right? And, like, you know, I have a Filipino sous chef whose girlfriend is Korean, and all he cooks is Korean food at home. So when he makes his dishes, whenever we brainstorm on dishes, he makes, like, a steak with a samjang demi-glace, which is, like, a Korean steak sauce. And it just made sense. So if we were to throw a pump, like a steak frites dish, it would be steak, French fries, and then this Korean demi-glace that just tops it off, and it makes it amazing. But that's 2019 food.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, 20 years ago, the word fusion, like fusion cuisine.
Yeah, it was confusion.
Yeah, and now it's evolved into...
genuine fusion.
Yeah, it's just... it's American food at 2019.
Yeah.
Where you can make cacio pepe and you can put tobiko on it. You know, you can make, I mean, there's lines out the door for this place that has like a cheeseburger dumpling.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, it's almost become, with social media attached to it, it's almost become 2019 American food.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm saying. With my restaurant, you're eating 2019 food made by children of immigrants, and either people really, 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 really love it, and they dig in, they show up every single day, and they're like, yes, give us what's new. What's the special burger of the day? Or they're like, oh, you hire illegal immigrants.
Wow.
Let me give you one
That's
star.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah.
So I've eaten there a few times in the last week to prepare for the show.
Okay.
It's very tough. You know, my R&D for the show.
Right.
You know, this
right.
is really, this research is a
And
bitch.
I'm sorry that I didn't have any excellent sandwiches.
Oh, did you know that I was kidding?
I was there.
Oh, you were there. You know, I know because my friend who I was with, who also works at Sirius, he's Paul, our head of product. He's like, I think that's the dude you're interviewing on Special Sauce.
Yeah.
You were sitting right off, right in the window.
Right. Yeah, I was sitting in the window. And, you know, I make sure that I tell everybody, it's like, hey, that's the dude from Serious Eats, just FYI. And they're like, oh, he already asked for the excellent sandwiches. And I'm like, oh, crap. You know, and legally I can't give you one because my partners will have a cow.
Right. We figured that out.
Yeah.
I was like, because then I went the next day, and that's what you're talking about. I went for lunch the next day, and I asked for, and they said, no, we don't serve those. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And then I was texting Paul. It's like, dude, I'm at the usual for lunch, and I can't get an egg sandwich.
Yeah, but
And then
have
he says, I bet
stuff.
There's a contractual obligation.
100%.
Yeah, so you have investors in Egg Slut, so you can't serve egg sandwiches.
I can't serve egg sandwiches, so, you know... we have a lot of fun things on the menu.
Yeah, but the food, by the way, was delicious. The dinner food, we had tuna tartare,
amazing.
Which was excellent. We had the fried chicken, which was serious, and those chive cheese biscuits, also serious.
Awesome.
We had the burger, which was excellent.
Thank you.
Excellent. E-G-G-S. No, I'm just kidding. And then we had that hoe cake.
Yeah.
It's that was delicious.
Yeah, it's all
like a skillet cornbread almost.
It's a skillet cornbread. We used to serve two tiny ones with fried chicken, but now we do the biscuits, and then we do a hoe cake because I love when it's crispy like that with the cast iron.
It was delicious, man. Yeah, but now you've solved the mystery of why couldn't I get an egg sandwich.
Yeah.
We were right.
Well, I figured that this would be the perfect platform to talk about that. My poor servers were like, yeah, I don't know.
He seems annoyed.
You know, I feel like he's not happy. But I was like, oh, don't worry. We'll smooth that out later on this week.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I mean, the burger you were mentioned, that's inspired by Spain. There's grated tomatoes on it. Pan con tomate, or pan tomate, or whatever the traditional what you call that is, where you get the bread and you rub it with garlic and tomatoes. And this was an homage for me when I created this burger. This was an homage to Jose Andreas.
Got it.
Because of the works he did in Puerto Rico. That was like the same time I was developing this burger, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna make a burger for this guy, and then it just turned into becoming the usual burger. It was like, oh man, this is almost like I was craving it. So yeah. I was like, this is
it was good because it was slightly chefy, but not stupid. Like it totally made sense, which was awesome.
It's a classic burger.
Yeah, it was delicious.
It's a classic burger.
Delicious. The fries were great, man.
Yeah.
So I've been reading, and there were things on the menu, which of course I didn't order because that's not how I roll.
Right.
But there were some healthy things.
Oh, yeah, for lunch especially.
Yeah, so, like, what's up with the healthy thing?
Well, I do a lot of that stuff because my personal balance reflects my menu as well, because, like, I do eat a lot of burgers. I do eat a lot of red meat. And during the daytime, I try to eat no meat at all.
Interesting.
From the moment I wake up till about 6 p.m., I try to, like, limit the amount of meat I eat.
Some people do, where they do vegan until 6 o'clock or vegan after 6.
Yeah. Yeah, so I do that. And so that's really affected my menu for lunch. And also it's really pushing me as a chef to create some delicious things.
Like using yogurt and seeds and nuts.
Yogurt, seeds, making clusters, making butters. We do this rice vermicelli salad, and it has, like, the edamame puree, like the traditional Japanese ginger scallion
dressing. Oh, yeah, I saw
that
on the menu.
Yeah, it's very light and refreshing.
I didn't get it because it seemed really healthy.
It sounds weird.
Yeah.
But there's so much flavor to it, and it's like power food. And I figured at lunch you kind of want to eat power food because you don't want to just fall asleep. Like, I don't offer fried chicken at lunch at my restaurant because I just know – you probably want to take a nap after.
Right. Yeah, that fried chicken is really good.
And someone like me who's, like, on the go, like, I definitely can't get weighed down by food. And that's how I powered through the breakfast and lunch menu. I was like, we got to have the indulgent stuff, which is like we make these pancakes and they're so fluffy and delicious.
What?
Oh, yeah.
But you couldn't get them at lunch?
Yeah, we stopped selling them, I think, at 11 because we do it.
Okay, that's why I'm annoyed. So you tell the servers, if I had known that there were pancakes that I missed out on in addition to the egg sandwiches.
Yeah, see, our issue is that the way we do our staffing, it's literally like we deploy teams. So, like, my breakfast team, once they're done, they take everything out because we have such a small kitchen.
So the mise en place is gone.
Yeah, it's gone. And then they put it away on their shelves, and then the lunch guys come in, they put theirs in. And then that turns into happy hour, and then we put that away, and then the dinner guys come in. And, like, the dinner guys are prepping during lunch, so, like, there's always this, like, change of guard that happens in the kitchen. So that's how we have to do it. It's New York City. That's the way the labor makes us do it. So
how is New York treating you at that restaurant in general? Is it challenging in ways that you didn't find LA challenging?
It's challenging in a sense where I have no idea how to run a New York restaurant because I'm from LA. The nuances are completely different. And
it's in a hotel.
It's in a hotel. But I disregard all of that stuff. Again, you know, the rebellious side in me is like, I'm going to do it the way we do it in L.A. Like, the other day, it was beautiful weather out. I threw the grill outside, and I started making burgers on the sidewalk.
Just
Just to do it.
Yeah.
Because that's the way I am. Like, that's the way we did it in California. And, like, that's how we get to know the community. And we really, like, what we want to do is really get to ingrain ourselves into the Little Italy, Chinatown. Italy,
yeah.
Italy,
you know,
area.
Our offices were a block from there. We were on Grant Street. We were across from DiPaolo Dairy.
Oh, that, dude, which is where we get our burrata and
yeah,
our
and the mozzarella.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that mozzarella, by the way, the best mozzarella in New York.
Oh, my God. You can't even touch it.
It's like, yeah. It's crazy.
It's so good. Yeah. So, that's what we do there. That's our thing. It's like, you know, we're not a traditional New York restaurant, but we're definitely, we like to show our characteristics and our personality through the restaurant. So
that's good.
It's worked.
And the hotel's okay with it?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we're partnered up with the hotel. We don't like to consider ourselves a hotel restaurant.
Got it.
You know, but we are, you know, affiliated with them in a sense where, like, you know, we do share the same building.
Right.
We share a lot of the same rooms and infrastructure. So it's interesting. It's interesting being in New York City compared to Los Angeles.
Sure,
it's
I'm
different.
Sure. And concepts like Amboy are sort of you're not pursuing for the time being.
Well, no, we're building an Amboy restaurant.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, we're building it on Mulberry.
Close to the restaurant.
Yeah, everything that we're doing, I live on Prince Street.
Oh.
So, like, I'm trying to, like, this part of my life and my career, I want to just keep it close to home.
Yeah. Danny Meyer used to talk about wanting to be able to walk to every restaurant.
That's where I learned it from his
He just did an event, the kickoff event for my book.
That's a power move for sure.
It was awesome because we've been friends for 20 years.
Right.
We've lived through a lot of highs and lows in each other's lives.
Understood.
So that's always the best way to forge a friendship. So
right.
It was really fun.
I learned that from him.
Yeah.
You know, just keep it hyper local, keep it community based.
So when do you think
forever.
Amboy will open?
Maybe September, I hope. In New York City. Again, this is
rough.
I'm from LA. We can open restaurants within 3 months in L.A. New York City, there's a lot more hoops to jump over. So.
Oh, my God. Trying to get the gas turned on in a kitchen.
Oh, my God.
In New York. You know that we moved Sirius Eats from Grand Street to Industry City in late 2015 after we were sold.
Right.
And we didn't get gas for 2 years.
What?
2 years.
Wow.
2 years.
Yeah, I have friends that try to open a restaurant, and their construction was done, and 6 months later, they're still twiddling their thumbs.
No, it's insane.
And they're like,
you know,
yeah.
You talk to any chef, like Carmelini has stories about the Dutch that, you know, will curl
really?
Your hair. Oh, yeah, forget it, man. So now it's time for the special sauce buffet. No pressure, Alvin.
No,
you just
none,
take your time, man.
You got
There's
it.
No bells that are going to ring. So who's at your last supper? No family allowed. Can be people that are living, dead, musicians, artists.
Oh, man, that's interesting. I probably have... I love sports.
Okay.
So I'd probably have Derek Jeter, Kobe Bryant, and Lewis Hamilton.
Lewis Hamilton, the Formula One driver?
Yes. Yeah, I love Formula One.
No women?
You know, now that you bring that up, there's actually quite a few women.
You can get three women to match the three men.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about that. You know, let's do. You know, I love Drew Barrymore.
Okay.
I think that, like, she's such an amazing person. She's like me. She's created herself so many different ways.
And uh-huh.
Definitely her. Alicia Keys.
Alicia Keys.
I have to have Alicia Keys. She's just, like, one of those, like, songbirds that's just, like,
yeah,
knows
makes,
how
she
to
can
make
you
me,
cry.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, at the end of the day, Oprah Winfrey.
All right.
You have to do. You
it's
have
a hell
to
of a
do.
Table.
You have to do Oprah.
It's a hell of a table.
Yeah.
And what are you eating?
Oh, man. You know what? I'm pushing. They have to eat what I'm eating, which is garlic fried rice.
Okay.
Spam or longanisa, spam, any type of
longanisa
like.
Longanisa is another kind of sausage.
Yeah, it's a Filipino sausage and fried eggs.
That's so great.
Filipino breakfast.
Okay.
That's what we're eating.
Nothing sweet.
Nothing. Well, the longanisa is kind of sweet, you know.
All right. But no dessert-y thing.
No.
Okay. All right. I don't want to mess up this last supper. So, who are you listening to?
Oh my gosh. Like right now or at the dinner?
No, just at the dinner.
Oh man. That's tough.
Like what are you cranking?
You know, we're probably cranking like backpack hip hop from like the early 2000s.
So give me
the hieroglyphics, the visionaries, the loot packs, like the Stone's Throw era, anything J Dilla, like very backpack, like jazzy hip hop.
Wow, you know all right.
What I mean? Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, that's what we're listening to.
I love that, man. So, what do you cook when there's nothing in the house to eat?
Oh, rice.
Rice.
I make rice and anything else.
Anything. Then anything you happen to
anything
have.
Anything. I can even have canned tuna and rice if I
if I'd
make,
to.
I will make that work.
They call that tuna casserole.
Yeah, tuna casserole. I'll eat that all day. Or even if it's just soy sauce and scallions.
That's I love
chives.
That.
Yeah, that's what I eat at home when there's nothing
so
there.
So do you have a guilty pleasure or two?
Oh, my God. Right now I'm really into collecting baseball gloves.
But that's not, they're not edible.
Oh, no, they're not edible. So edible,
yeah.
Guilty pleasures.
Yeah.
So
many.
Yeah. You know, last night I definitely had McDonald's chicken nuggets. I tried the new, their Spanish burger from Spain.
Oh, how was it?
That marketing really worked on me.
You know what is really good? The quarter pounders that they cook to order.
Yeah. The sear
Nobody,
on it.
They don't get enough credit for that.
What they're getting a really good sear on those bad boys. I don't know what they're doing. Yeah, I got this bacon Spanish from Spain burger yesterday from McDonald's, so I definitely consider that a guilty pleasure. And, we're suckers for, like, chocolate at the restaurant. You know, like my GM, Kim, he brings in, like, box or bags of M&Ms and Skittles.
Peanuts are plain.
We get both. We actually get three different kinds.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, and we put it in a low boy. And everyone awesome. Knows to just go and grab, like, the crappy candy down there.
So,
that's pretty funny.
Who would you like to have a one-on-one lunch with just to see how he or she thinks?
Oh, that's a great question. Right now, at this particular moment, I'd probably say President Trump.
Really?
I would. I mean, we'd probably be eating taco salads, but I really want to press him on why he believes in what he believes in. And and at the end of the day, in the world of clout, I feel like he only says things because people want to hear it. And it's like, you're the leader of the free world, so
you got to stop doing
that. Let's talk about this. And I feel like no one will say that. But everyone wants to do it, and I'm not afraid of that guy. I'd love to talk to him about certain things.
I love it. I love it. So this is the last question. It's just been declared.
Okay.
Alvin Kailan Day.
Oh, my goodness.
All over the world.
Wow.
What's happening on that day?
Alvin Kailan Day is probably, it'd be like a lechon party. People bring out the roasted pigs and just, like, chow down, man. Like,
and would they be dancing?
All of that. It'd be like the Godfather scene, you know, like when the son just got his first communion or whatever. Like, that's what we're doing. That's how I envision Alvin Kailan Day.
It's a Filipino scene.
Yeah.
Reimagined from The Godfather.
From The Godfather. Whether it be, like, the wedding scene or whether it be the first communion thing. We're doing it big. There's a band playing,
and people would just be doing little Godfather riffs, like,
yeah.
Don't ask me about my business, Kate.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't ask
me about my business.
Just this one time, I'm gonna allow you to ask a question about my business. Did you have so and so killed? Absolutely not.
then the door closes.
Exactly.
And
it's great.
Everyone's kissing the ring.
All right. Alvin Kailan, thank you so much for sharing your
special
sauce.
Thanks for having me. That was
us.
So fun.
If you've never had an egg slut sandwich, you really haven't lived. Okay? I'm just going to say that.
Wow.
And check out The Usual in NYC, yes. And we look forward to Amboy opening up. And, oh, yeah, check out The Burger Show. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Burger
Show. It's
great
to have you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Come to The Usual. I expect you guys there. I'm there all the time.
We know.
Okay. I'll see y'all there.
We'll see you next time, Serious Eaters.